Good afternoon, I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for listening to What Mama Wants. Personally, I think Mother Earth wants far less toxics and more health for everyone on our planet. This is a chance to hear from educators, citizens, policymakers, and scientists about the role of toxics like arsenic, PFAS, and pesticides, and what they're doing to us in our daily lives. My guest today is Kelsey George. She's an advocate for clean drinking water ever since her long, toxic dance with arsenic. And her background is in philanthropy work for nonprofit organizations. Kelsey currently serves on the 501c4 Action Board for Defend Our Health. And I'm so delighted to have you here on What Mama Wants today, Kelsey.
Thank you for having me.
Arsenic is a natural element, but it is toxic to humans when we consume it. That's why we have to look out for it in our drinking water. It gets into our wells because of granite and also sometimes from pesticides that have been used on apple orchards. But if we don't test, we don't know it's there. It's colorless, odorless, and tasteless. And a lot of Mainers are exposed. In fact, more than half of Mainers drink from residential wells, and one in six of those has too much arsenic in it. The government decided 10 parts per billion is as many as you can have. Some states like New Hampshire have decided 5 is really a safer number. And right now in Maine, we say 10 parts per billion is too much. So arsenic, Kelsey, what can you tell us about what happens to a body that's exposed to arsenic?
Thanks, Kate. So in 2009, my former partner and I rented an apartment located in Hancock County. The apartment utilized the private well from the landlord's home, 100 feet away from our apartment. Unbeknownst to us, the well had arsenic levels that exceeded the federal limit of 10 parts per billion. At the time we signed the lease agreement, the landlords knew that their well water contained levels of arsenic over that federal limit, but they never disclosed this information, as there was no law in the state of Maine that required them to do so.
That kind of makes me crazy that he could know that and not tell you.
Yes, it just seems totally unethical. And it's the reason why I fought for improved legislation, not just for my own health, but recognizing that this problem is not isolated. It is widespread across the state of Maine. And so after dealing with all of the health impacts, I made a commitment to myself to fight for improved legislation. So as we would later discover, the landlords never drank the water from their own tap because they knew it was contaminated with arsenic. My partner and I drank, cooked with, and bathed in that well water. And over the course of 24 months, my health steadily declined. What began as routine doctor's office visits to address modest symptoms escalated to chronic sore throats, respiratory distress, daily headaches and nausea, digestive issues, decreased immune system response, cardiovascular problems, and more.
I understand that chronic sore throat's one of the early symptoms. Some people get skin lesions and rashes. Did you get any skin stuff?
You know, that's a great question. The answer to that is yes, although I didn't know immediately. So in India, where there are heavy concentrations of arsenic, oftentimes individuals will drink water that's contaminated with arsenic. And one of the early indicators is to have black spots. They almost look like freckles. They're dark black or maybe even brown that appear on the palms. And I started to have some dots that showed up on my palms. Early on, I had no idea what they were. I later discovered that it was attributed to arsenic poisoning.
Yeah. So you were talking about all kinds of things, including GI upset. You know, were you nauseated?
I was. But early on, it was inconsistent. And then as things progressed and I drank more water, I mean, I was bringing water to work. I was making tea in the evenings. I was boiling water, which is one of the worst things you can do because it concentrates the heavy metal. I was making coffee in the morning and drinking 2 cups of coffee and sometimes bringing a cup of coffee to work. And so the nausea really presented itself 2 years into the arsenic exposure, to the point where I just felt nauseous all the time. I felt nauseous in the morning. I felt nauseous driving to work, where I was pulling over on the side of the road because I felt like I was going to get sick. And I mean, loss of appetite because of that nausea. And over the course of 2 years, I ended up losing 20 pounds. I was down to something like 112 pounds. I mean, I normally weigh 135. I'm 5'6" and I am fairly active. And to be down to that weight, my pants were literally slipping off my hips. And I remember my family came up to visit right before we discovered that it was arsenic. And my mom was concerned, and she didn't tell me this at the time. She told me afterwards. She said this color of my skin almost looked gray. And she noticed that I had lost quite a bit of weight, but we couldn't figure out what was wrong.
Wow. That is so scary. And you were young.
I was, yeah. I was in my mid-20s when all of this started, and I had no prior medical history of health problems. And it was through conversations with two individuals who lived in our town, maybe within a 10 to 15 mile radius. My boyfriend at the time was a builder. He received these phone calls from individuals who were looking to have housing units built for arsenic filtration systems, either inside or just adjacent to their house. And through conversations with those two folks, he came home and said, "I think I know what's been making us sick. It's arsenic."
That's so an interesting way to figure out your own diagnosis when you've been going to the doctor and they can't figure it out.
It was, I know. And, you know, my doctor did their due diligence. They ran several tests. They did blood work and everything was coming back either negative or within normal ranges. So they weren't sure what was wrong. And so when we suspected that it was arsenic that was making us so sick, we immediately ordered a test kit from a private laboratory that was located in the area where we live. And that test came back relatively quickly, within a week or so, and confirmed what we had suspected, that the arsenic levels in the drinking water was over 10 parts per billion. So we stopped drinking the water immediately. We switched to bottled water for cooking and drinking. And I sent a letter to neighbors alerting them to the issue and encouraging them to get their well water tested, thinking that they too could be impacted by the issue. I also contacted Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association, MOFGA, because I was concerned about eating vegetables from our garden, which was over 4,000 square feet, and that garden had been maintained with well water.
What did they say?
So we went back and forth, and after some fact finding, they recommended that we avoid any vegetables that were in the ground, such as onions or beets, because they can hold higher concentrations of arsenic. Anything that was above the soil, such as tomatoes or zucchini and squash, cucumbers, they would be okay to consume. I mean, I still was hesitant, but I at least felt a little bit more reassured given that we had been eating so much produce from the garden.
It must have been a huge relief to finally find out that what you have is real and that there are things you could do about it. You know, I'm always struck when I hear your story because I find myself asking how many Mainers are sick like you were, with symptoms like constant sore throat, digestive issues, muscle cramps is another big one I know, skin problems. And they don't even know that their problems coming from their water. I think about if 1 in 6 wells are unsafe, that leaves 130,000 Mainers exposed to toxins in their water. And we do know that drinking arsenic water can give you bladder, liver, and skin cancers, and it can impact the brain development of children forever, decreasing IQs and making learning difficult. As well, it can contribute to diabetes and cardiovascular disease. So, interestingly and sadly, Maine has a higher bladder cancer rate than other states by 20%. And we also have the state with the highest usage of residential wells. And for instance, it's over 50% in the state, but places like Lincoln County is up at 85.6% of the residents of the county drinking from residential wells. So I'm just astonished that it would take so long for people to know about this. You would think the doctors would ask and and know what they were looking at when people came in with these complaints and these black specks on their palms and things like that.
Yeah, gosh, I could take this conversation in so many directions. One of the things that I didn't say before that's probably worth mentioning when I hear you talk about bladder cancer is one of the symptoms I experienced, especially when we had been drinking the well water for 2 years, is at night, I would get up in the middle of the night to urinate. And I was in my mid-20s, and I was not drinking copious amounts of water before bed. That was something that became routine and was not normal. And again, with medical tests that continued to come back negative or within a normal reason, my doctor couldn't figure out what was going on. But in hindsight, I know now that my body was trying to eliminate heavy metals, was doing so routinely. So it stands to reason that we do have higher bladder cancer rates, unfortunately, in the state, whether it's from arsenic exposure or other contaminants.
How did you go about healing from all your symptoms?
So I did a variety of things to detox my physical body. I sought out the guidance of two naturopaths to help my body heal. One of them guided me through chelation therapy, which is a process that's used to remove heavy metals from the body. I also incorporated dietary changes, like increasing the consumption of dark leafy greens, increasing fiber, increasing my intake of lemon. So I would slice lemon and squeeze that into a clean, fresh glass of water and drink that in the morning and increase my vitamin C intake. Some things that you do want to watch out for, though, are rice or apple-derived products like apple juice, applesauce, and dark meat fish like tuna, which can contain higher levels of arsenic. But then I also did other things like began taking standard process supplements to repair the damage that had been done to my body. Standard process supplements are organic, whole food, cold-pressed glandular supplements. I felt like those repaired my body tenfold. And I also used something called Ion Cleanse foot baths to detox the heavy metals. And yes, they really did have metal flecks coming out in the water, which was really astounding. And I have sat in my fair share of saunas and infrared saunas to detox heavy metals, which is something that's known to be helpful in detoxing heavy metals.
That's really kind of you to share that. I'm sure that was not easily found information. And it sounds like you did an exhaustive search and were willing to try pretty much anything to clear your body of all these arsenic heavy metals.
I was, you know, it takes research. It takes time and being thorough and sort of fastidious about exploring different avenues. I really wanted to detox the body naturally. I believe in sort of a whole healthcare approach to treating the body. And so I sought out different practitioners that helped me do that. And I feel very grateful for all of the medical care practitioners who either helped me or crossed my path and gave me suggestions, because it's because of them that I have largely repaired my health to where it is today.
Would you say you're all better?
Well, almost, not exactly. I do have some permanent damage. That includes permanent damage to my eyes. And I also have a neck condition called acquired cervical dystonia. It's actually a neurological movement condition in which your neck muscles contract or spasm involuntarily and cause your head to twist to one side. According to the National Institute for Neurological Disorders and Strokes, some causes of acquired dystonia include heavy metal poisoning, such as arsenic.
Kind of a constant reminder of this arsenic nightmare. I'm sorry that happened and has stuck with you. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to What Mama Wants, less toxics and more health. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is clean water advocate Kelsey George. Her story of arsenic exposure in her mid-20s is really disturbing. However, once she recovered, she turned her suffering into real help for lots of other people. After a couple of years of getting back to health, Kelsey, you found your way to what was then called Environmental Health Strategy Center, which is now called Defend Our Health. I wondered if you could tell us about your experience presenting oral and written testimony to the Maine legislature to have some of the rules changed around arsenic.
I'd be happy to. This is probably the most gratifying part of all. So in terms of presenting testimony to the Maine legislature, it was relatively easy. I've presented oral testimony in person and over Zoom during the pandemic, and I've submitted testimony in writing for various bills relating to arsenic and other contaminants in drinking water. While it can be a little nerve-wracking to share your story, legislators have often told me that it's the personal stories that are the most impactful, which help them to improve legislation.
After sitting there on Zoom forever, it must be great when a real person comes in the room and makes all the facts and figures have a face.
I can only imagine. 3 minutes goes by so quickly. That's the time limit that you're provided. And it's hard to condense a story like mine into 3 minutes, which is important for another reason to sometimes submit written testimony, because you can include more in writing than you can say in 3 minutes. But, you know, for anyone listening to today's conversation, I highly recommend considering sharing testimony for any bills upcoming that have impacted you personally. And if you feel uncomfortable sharing your story in person, and I get it, not everyone is comfortable with public speaking, please consider sharing your testimony in writing, because it does make a difference.
What happened after you presented your testimony?
So as a result of sharing my story and partnering together with Defend Our Health, Governor Mills signed into law LD 1570, which ended up being included as part of the American Rescue Plan Act. And she signed this bill into law in July of 2021. So it was over a year ago now. The bill included multiple parts to address arsenic contamination in drinking water. The most meaningful to me, which will require landlords to test for the presence of arsenic once every 5 years and disclose those test results to their tenants, both new tenants at the time a new lease agreement is signed, or existing tenants when a lease agreement is renewed. Additionally, the bill will provide access to well water testing for low-income Mainers and will require the department to monitor the most up-to-date science to set a maximum contaminant level for arsenic through rulemaking. So for instance, like you mentioned earlier, the state of New Hampshire has since lowered their maximum contaminant level from 10 parts per billion down to 5, and Maine will continue to monitor our MCL, the maximum contaminant level, to track the science for best practices. For those who are seeking more information about access to well water testing, I would recommend they visit the state's website, www.wellwater.maine.gov. And if you're looking for more information about access to testing for low-income Mainers or water quality issues that affect your community, you can reach out to Sergio Kiweke, organizer at Defend Our Health, by visiting their website. That's www.defendourhealth.org.
That's really helpful, because my guess is somebody's driving along in the car and thinking, that's what my sister has. How do I find out about tests? How do I find out about arsenic? So thanks for sharing those. And I will link to them in the show notes on whatmamawants.org. So now landlords have to test and disclose the results every 5 years or when units turn over. And everyone should be testing their water at state-approved labs. And that list can be found, as you said, searching for Maine.gov drinking water labs or Maine.gov free well water testing, because financial assistance is available. So every Mainer should be able to access the testing that they need to find out if their water has arsenic in it.
That's right. I spoke with the state of Maine's laboratory just recently, and an arsenic test costs just $30. I will say that the state of Maine does make it easy to get your well water tested. In terms of testing for arsenic, they can ship a test kit to you through the mail, which then can be shipped back to their laboratory, or you can stop by their office to pick up and or drop off testing kits.
I'd love to see something like that happening as well at town halls. I don't think that that's out of reach for towns that are known to have high levels of arsenic in their residential wells. So arsenic's really a big deal in Maine for just public health for the whole population. How might others find out about this and help raise awareness about the issues of arsenic poisoning? Do you ever have thoughts about that?
Thanks for asking. So first off, I'm just going to state the obvious. If you are drinking water from a private well and you don't know what's in your water, test. And if you haven't had your well water tested recently, okay, and what's recently? Well, some People might argue that it's 2 to 3 years. Others might say 5 years. If you haven't had it tested recently, test again. Water tables can change, thereby impacting levels of naturally occurring elements and contaminants in your well water. And the state of Maine says that there are other times when you might want to test your well water that fall sort of outside of that routine scope, which include if your water changes in smell, taste, or color, if your well water runs dry and then comes back, if you're having work done on your well, or if you're having a new baby. Again, that's not an inclusive list, but those are just some suggestions. One of the things I think could generate greater awareness would be to add a question on medical intake forms, such as, where do you derive your drinking water from? Is it well water, city water, bottled water? Maybe it's other. Maybe you pull from a lake and filter it. Having this question on a medical form might prompt more questions by a medical provider about the quality of the water, and it could help diagnose underlying health problems that might be related to drinking water.
Yeah. Thank you for checking on that. And what a good idea, you know, especially in areas I can't imagine there aren't large numbers of people seeking help for this and doctors just not knowing. And your doctors didn't know. You don't know if you don't ask and don't test.
That's right. I think it's worth mentioning too, Kate, that the U.S. Geological Survey, they conducted a 5-year study that was released in December of 2010, assessing arsenic concentrations in drinking water across the state of Maine. That report concluded that, and keep in mind, this was over 10 years ago. At that time, they concluded that 1 in 10 wells in Maine contain arsenic concentrations that are above the federal drinking water standard of 10 parts per billion. Today, we know that the ratio is even higher. It's 1 in 6 wells. But according to the USGS survey maps, the highest arsenic concentrations are located along Maine's coast, which stands to reason because arsenic is found in the granite bedrock, which is prevalent along Maine's coast. When we discovered that it was arsenic that was making us so sick, one of the things that I did was to take the survey that was done by the USGS, including those maps, and I sent it to my doctor's office with a letter to make them aware of the presence of arsenic in drinking water in case any other individual came to their practice with similar symptoms, to raise awareness about the issue because it is prevalent in the state of Maine.
Yeah, it just seems like it's the kind of thing a youth group could pick up and run with, or a Lions Club, or somebody could take it up as an issue and just make sure everyone knows. I know Defend Our Health does that, but you know, the reach is limited. The more people we could have in the know, the less people we'd have really feeling terrible and sick.
That's right. We need more youth activists. We need more youth to get involved in causes that they're passionate about. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about water. For young folks listening, what are you interested in? What are your passions? And it can be outside of whatever your career is in the future, but find something that you really like and find a nonprofit that's doing work in that area. There are so many nonprofits in the state of Maine doing incredible work. And oftentimes they function on limited budgets and staff is stretched thin. So they rely on the help of volunteers. Sometimes they just need more hands, and getting young people involved is a start.
I think it's a great idea to activate people. So it's time to think about what mama wants. What do you think regarding arsenic and clean drinking water? What do you think mama wants?
You know, I think of the Native American philosophy whereby decisions within those tribes were made thinking about the next 7 generations. I think as a society, if we followed this premise, I'm quite convinced that the world would be a much different place. Because inherent within that concept is the model of cradle to grave, taking into consideration the life cycle of products and its impact on human health from the moment that it's produced to the end of its life cycle. And we live in a society that incentivizes economic activity and profit, but we don't live on a planet that can produce endless amounts of resources. These concepts really run contrary to one another. And so if you're unfamiliar with the term Earth Overshoot Day, I suggest you look it up. Ultimately, we have to live in harmony on this one planet. So if you ask me what Mother Earth wants, she wants us to live more lightly on the earth, challenge our assumptions about the life cycle of products and their impact to human health, be more conscious consumers and know where our products are sourced from, and to become involved, either at a local, state, or federal level, to improve systems, health outcomes, and improve the world for future generations.
I like what you like. I bet Mama likes it too. So to close this interview, I'd like to ask you a few quick questions about your personal relationship to the earth, if you're game.
I am.
As a kid, what was your favorite thing to do when you played outside?
I love to go down to the river behind my childhood home and play in that ecosystem. The river abutted state forest property. So as kids, my brother and I used to play in the woods, and I remember catching frogs, catching minnows in the river, building little castles with sand and rocks, and, you know, just playing like kids.
That sounds really fun. Can you describe a scene in nature where you have felt genuine awe?
The first thing that comes to mind is a couple of years back, my best friend Terry and I went to the top of Cadillac Mountain to watch the sunrise on the summer solstice. And it was absolutely beautiful. We found ourselves a quiet spot on a rock and laid out a blanket, and we were in peace watching the sunrise, and it was beautiful. It's really impressive. You can see the islands off the coast of Mount Desert Island, and you can see the ocean and see just an expansive view, and you really feel, you feel in nature when you're up there at the first point on the eastern horizon where they say the sunrise hits.
Sounds beautiful. What's one thing you currently wonder about in nature?
I wonder collectively when we're going to wake up as a human species. I feel like in respect to the climate crisis, we are far past the 11th hour. And I'm not a pessimist, but I'm just worried that we might have an environmental system collapse before we have a financial system collapse. And I feel like we need to redesign new systems. And many of these problems that we are facing collectively as a human species on this planet, they go back to money. Big agriculture, big oil, big pharma, these corporations are so powerful because they hold the money. And oftentimes, whoever holds the money holds the power. These corporations are able to buy off lobbyists in Washington, D.C. They pass legislation that impacts their industries positively. But I feel like we need systems level change. What if we lived in a society that had an exchange system that didn't allow necessarily for the accumulation of wealth, but allowed for the progression of humanity? If we had access to free energy technology, what a beautiful, clean world we would be living in.
Total swapping of mindsets.
We would truly be thriving on this planet.
I like the picture. Finally, what is your favorite baby animal?
Okay, I'll have to go with kittens because they are so adorable and lovable and playful. I grew up with a couple sets of kittens. We had them often in pairs, so they always had a playmate, and they are just, they're so lovable and cute. What's not to love about baby kittens?
Fluff cells. Kelsey, you're motivated by kindness. And you could have easily pursued a lawsuit for damages from your arsenic exposure as a tenant. But instead, you chose to raise awareness and advocate for laws that would protect other individuals and renters around the state over time. And that is really impressive. Thank you for being my guest today and talking about arsenic with me.
Thank you so much, Kate. I really appreciate the opportunity to share my story and to raise awareness about this issue.
You turned it into a powerful story.